So, welcome to the Big Questions podcast. It's your go-to podcast for unraveling the mysteries of university finance and empowering students with their knowledge to navigate their financial journey. Have you ever found yourself lost in the maze of finances, wondering how to make the most of your money or how to manage your student loans? Well, you're not alone. Today, we're looking at key questions raised by students with the hope to provide extra knowledge and clear up those myths around your finances. Throughout this podcast, we explore practical tips, advice, and real life experiences to shed the light of the complexities of university finances. So let's get started with some brief introductions. Joining us today from the funding team is Kai.
Hello, everyone.
Ryan.
Hello.
And myself, Chris, who are funding support officers for the University of Essex. Ryan, would you mind giving us a brief introduction of what a funding support officer does?
Of course, yes. So financial support officers, kind of the clue is in the name. We are here to offer financial support and guidance to students as and when it comes up, and sometimes when it's not needed. So we will be showcasing different things throughout the year that will be very good for the students to be aware of. Different events as well. Obviously this is going out during National Student Money Week, so hopefully we've met lots of you at the different stalls. Primarily it's dealing with the student finance queries that students might have regarding maintenance loans and tuition loans, but generally just being there as a voice to assist if there are any questions the students might have funding related at any point.
Brilliant, thanks for that, Ryan. So also we're joined today by the wonderful Nafemi, who is the VP Welfare for the SU. Hi Nafemi. I'd wonder if you can give us a brief introduction what your role entails.
So as the VP Welfare for the SU, I'm in charge of everything that sort of covers student wellbeing, mental health and support as well. So covering a range of very vast different things.
Fantastic, that's great. So obviously I emailed you a couple of weeks ago to set you a challenge to go out and get some questions from some students regarding their finances, obviously financial problems they're having and some difficulties. And by the looks of it, you've done a fantastic job. You know, we've got a good range of questions there and similar questions that we see out throughout the year. So hopefully we can obviously help. Just dive straight into the questions and then if everyone would like to jump in, if they would like to, and we can go from there. So Nafemi, if I hand over to you, we can go with what the first question we've got.
So the first question I had sent in from students is, how can I budget when we get our money termly from our loans rather than monthly?
Okay, that's great. I'll take that question. So we work closely with a company called Black Billion, and Black Billion have this wonderful app for students that they can download. It's called the Money Management app from Black Billion. And what that does, it kind of breaks down your maintenance loan you get received from Student Finance England into separate monthly installments, and it helps you budget that throughout. Now, not all students like to use apps and on that. I'm sure that's probably a lie. I think most people would rather do everything on an app these days. But what I would strongly recommend that students do is obviously break down their maintenance loan and their income into monthly things. Now put them into separate pots and pay for those essential outgoings like your rent, your groceries, your travel costs first. And then obviously saving and putting the rest of that aside for your recreational. So your going out, your extra food. So I'm talking about takeaways and any clothing or anything like that as well. Array of different ways of managing your money out there. We really recommend the Black Billion one. It's really good for that. They've spent a lot of money on that, developing that app for students, and it's free. So why not give it a go, try and use it.
That sounds like a very useful tool. I wish I knew about that when I was a student. Next question we had is, leaning on from that a bit, is I don't know what things I could do for free with my friends without spending money. So obviously if people have then put some money aside for recreation use, they don't necessarily want to spend all of it in the first few weeks hanging out with friends.
Good question. I used to be a student on campus and I always trying to find all the free things I can do. So let's talk about on campus. If you attend the different kind of clubs or society, they always have a lot of activities you can attend to. For example, I used to go to the club. They do like a Wednesday drawing class. So you can go with your friends and do a live drawing. And also there are a lot of voluntary works. For example, you can join drawing WE teams run by the student union. You can take part in like help local food banks, or take part in like visiting the local charity to gain valuable skills and also help out others. That's kind of a experience I would like to do even for nowadays. You can share a movie night with your friends, and you can just watch a movie together, have popcorn, and you can bring some your local food, or because we are really big international university, also like we have a lot of natural walks around the campus. You can go for a walk or even play disc golf with your friends. That's for free. And also play some sports like tennis or even badminton on campus with your friends, all kind of for free. Don't forget, check the university website and the SU website. Yeah. So what I can offer for today. Yeah.
Obviously
you.
We're not recording this video recording today, but as soon as Kai mentioned the word disc golf, you probably heard, I don't know if you heard Ryan in the background fist pumping away. He's a massive disc golf fan. What would you say about the course? Is it a good one?
Come and play. costs very little and it's good exercise.
So Ryan usually has a game every lunchtime, so if any students want to come and meet Ryan and have a game, I'm sure he's happy to give some free lessons and go from there. Is that okay, Ryan?
Always. Find me in the funding team.
Very good.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So next question I had is, how do I make my loan last? I feel like I'm always broke towards the end of it.
Yeah, to be honest, we had a great conversation with us before coming down. And with regards to, I'm guessing it may be down from someone who's getting a maintenance loan. But if a student has getting to the end before their next loan drops in, I would say they're doing actually really well. Actually, they shouldn't have any excess money right at the end of their period of time. They're making that money budget all the way to the end. My concern would be for a student who's actually getting a month or a month and a half before their next maintenance loan drops in, then we need to look at different sources of funding. And where we've had lots of conversations with students that Student Finance England, there isn't enough, you don't get an FRE enough maintenance loan. It hasn't increased with inflation over the last couple of years, and it's a shame for the Department for Education looking to them to increase that and address that issues. I'm sorry to say there isn't a magic wand to make sure that what we do highlight to students is, A, when they come to university, you need to look at other sources of funding. Mum and dad, I'm sorry to say, need to be speaking to them and seeing how they can offer some support if you do have that as an option. Then there is obviously other options like additional work, you know, part-time work, but I know you need to focus on the studies. So we need to find that balancing act as well. But you need to come to university with a plan. And there is lots of resources at the university that offer help. There's the career section who obviously help with writing CVs and looking for part-time work. And I know a lot of students do work for the SU and find other jobs around campus as well. My advice would be get on campus first of all and try and get one of those jobs as well. But there's obviously culture still, there's lots of jobs, lots of available in regards to supermarkets. There's so many, it's ridiculous at the moment. It looks like Lidl's opening one up every week. But look at those for you as well. But once again, bang back to that question, money running out towards the end, I think that person's actually doing it well. You know, if they can get that to the end before their maintenance loan comes in, and they're just running out at that point, I think they're doing a fantastic job.
I'll just add, other supermarkets are available.
Yes. Yeah. You're a Waitrose man, are you?
I didn't even know where one was.
Yeah, defo not Waitrose on a student budget.
No, indeed.
So, do you guys have any saving tips? I'd really like to go on holiday this year, so I'd appreciate any saving tips you guys have.
Okay, I will take that question. So, talking about holiday, to be honest, I really want to go on holiday now. So for me personally, I think you have to set a short-term goal or like a long-term. So for big savings, because you need to travel abroad, that means you need to spend more. And then you need to plan ahead for your ticket or like a staying in a hotel or anything. That's like a big saving for a long-term. So for short-term, for example, you just travel in the UK or just locally, you don't need to spend too much. So that it kind of a short-term goal you can achieve in your short-term. So what you can say, for example, I used to, one is just for potentially I'm going to use to save money, and you can actually get some interest on that as well. So I put a bit kind of a goal. For example, this month I just set £200 that are going to save for me to go for like Easter holiday for 5 days. You have to put your living cost first and then planning for your holiday, and then you can work part-time and earn extra. I know it's hard for you to plan ahead, but some saving one day and towards the end for short term and the long term is totally different thing. So make sure you are clear about is a long term or short term, or whether you can make it for after your uni, or you would like to just traveling around the UK or around the campus. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so another couple of tips out there. Obviously, I think Kai's has said in regards to local holidays, I would encourage anyone at the SU University to get out around the local area. There is so many nice beaches we have, and you know, Frinton, Walton, Clacton. If you want to just do day trips, that's a way of, you know, if you can do that over a couple of weeks and so on like that, that work out cheap. The student rail cards, that's another way of getting about and seeing the country as well. And I think the one big thing is obviously coming to university, and we've already discussed it, the maintenance loan isn't enough, and obviously you've got to work hard as well to earn enough money as well. There is going to be sacrifices while you're studying, and there is a reason why you're at university, is obviously to make sure that you have a good career going forward as well. So maybe making those sacrifices now for the long term, you know, maybe go, okay, I'm not going to go to Spain or France, or I'm sure there's other countries people can go to.
One or two.
But maybe going, I'm going to sacrifice, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to stay in the UK. There's a lovely place that I can go visit in the UK. Maybe I'll just do a weekend away instead of a week away, you know. And also make good friends at people at the university. Like Kai's mentioned earlier, it's an international university. Make good friends. Once you finish university, make sure you stay in contact with them and go and visit them and stuff like that. That's also a good way, having a cheap holiday later on. Okay, brilliant, thanks.
Definitely good. So one question that we got sent in is, how do I start building up a good credit score as a student?
Yeah, brilliant. So obviously with regards to credit score, so this is a for the long term, for when they leave universities as well. A lot of people don't, when they first come to university, haven't actually had any forms of credit. Usually if they've just turned 18 or 19 years, they won't have any forms of credit. So there is ways of building up a credit history for them. What I would always recommend to someone, now I used to be a mortgage advisor, and the way I always say to student, to people, to build up a good credit history is to show that you're good at managing credit. And that was a simple way of taking out a credit card and actually using the credit card, but making sure you clear it off in full each month. And it doesn't have to be big expenditures. It could be, I'm just going to go and buy, I don't know, let's think of something very simple, a box of wine. A box of wine? Our students still drink boxes of wine? Box of beer or anything like that as well. And basically clearing that off with their credit card every time, every month. Now what that will prove to the credit companies out there, that they're good at managing your credit. And what you'll find is it's kind of on a scale. So once you've done one thing well, it will start to move up as well. But you just need to make sure you're maintaining that. Now, there is other ways of building up a credit rating out there. There's the credit card, which I just mentioned, taking out a mobile phone on a monthly direct debit. That is a credit, form of credit as well. Now, obviously, I would always strongly recommend students don't go and get the most expensive monthly credit card, most expensive mobile phone, and paying, say, £70-80 out there. Once again, it's that question about sacrifice. Get the phone, just make sure it does the job, and then we can go from there. So maybe just taking out one for like £20 a month or something like that. But that is a way of building up a credit rating. Basically taking out small bits of credit, paying it off in full each month, and that will build up a credit rating for you for the long term. That's obviously all unsecured credit, so basically that's not secured against a property or anything like that. But once you finish university and obviously you have a good incomes coming in, you can then start to look at bigger other forms of credit like a mortgage and so on. But we won't go into that today, because I reckon we would bore people during that conversation. And Ryan's already falling asleep.
I'm just in awe of everything that you've taken forward from your previous job that works for this job, really, because it's all very, very valid. So, good stuff.
Leading on from that, can students get a credit card?
Well, the short answer is yes, they can. The majority of what Chris has just said is going to be massively relevant to that question. So as applying for the credit card, there are specific student credit cards. They differ from normal credit cards in that because they are student focused, they are a little bit more cautious about what they are willing to lend out. So the credit limits are probably going to be a little bit on the lower side. The APRs, unfortunately, are going to probably be a little bit higher just because of the additional risk that they're putting forward, or at least they believe that they would be putting forward. And some of the rewards that you can get from general credit cards, they might not be there in the same fashion as they would be. Having said that, though, this is assuming that students are 18, 19. Obviously, if you're slightly older, you're going to have a different credit rating. If you're a mature student, then again, you may have had multiple credit cards throughout your life. So you can potentially lean towards a different credit card. But as with any credit card, it is borrowing money. So whatever you are intended to use it for, obviously it can be used and managed incredibly well, as Chris covered a little while ago. But anything that you are purchasing with it, anything you're taking out with it, it is money that you will be paying back. So as with anything, just making sure that you're budgeting effectively so that you can get that money back when it's needed.
Okay, thank you. And is it bad to be in your overdraft? Will it affect your credit score in the future?
So the overdraft, it's a dreaded word. Everyone fears the overdraft. It isn't something to be feared. In fact, it's something to actually be welcomed in some ways, because if you're opening a student account, which hopefully you all have, most of the high street lenders are going to have a 0% overdraft. So to repeat myself, if you go into the overdraft, it is borrowing money. It is money that you will have to pay back, but you're not going to be immediately penalized for it up to whatever overdraft you've agreed. So some of them are 500, some of them 1,000, potentially a little bit more. But again, whatever you're going into, it is money that will need to go back in. As far as affecting your future credit score, the interest-free, as long as it's utilised correctly, will have absolutely no impact whatsoever on your credit score. If you go into it further than you're expected to, and outside the terms of the agreement, then yes, it can leave a footprint, which can then go ahead as credit score in the short term, potentially the long term. But that is true of any money that you're borrowing. If you take money outside the terms of that agreement, then there will be consequences to it, and that is effectively what that would be.
Very good to know. Obviously, as students, sometimes we do enjoy quite a bit of online shopping. So we did have a lot of questions come in about asking whether things like Klarna affect credit scores.
Buy now, pay later. Klarna is one of the buy now, pay later companies, and there are different kind of a buy now pay later now. So you may just use Klarna, but you have other things. So basically, buy now pay later, that means you can choose to pay in 3 installments, or decide to pay in 30 days, or creating a one-time used card. So those 3 items, actually, when you use the payment options, will not affect your credit score. Already laid or unpaid balances and the payments holidays are kind of visible on your credit and to other lenders. So making repayment on time constantly will help to build a positive history when using your payment options, like the list 3. So pay installments, pay 30 days, and a one-term use card. And also they mentioned actually Klarna might affect your credit score when applying for the financial options. So if you're gonna decide to use a financing like Klarna, they provide it, and they might perform a credit check with a credit reference agency to complete their credit assessment. So this credit check will show up as a inquiry on your credit report. So when you go, you know, in the future, you can see there is a check on your credit record. and will be visible to other lenders and might impact your credit score as well. So in summary, and I mean, like buy now, pay later, like pay 30 days later or installment, they will not affect your credit score, but always make the payment on time. They will not have a big impact on your credit score.
So just wanted to add on to the buy now, pay later. Now, Kawai has actually done a great piece for National Student Money Week in regard to a whole article on that. And it's one of the key areas that we are actually seeing at the funding team when we're looking at a hardship application. We're seeing a lot of students obviously having seen these buy now, pay laters, Klarna, ClearPay,
Monzo Flex, I think, is another one.
Yeah, those as well. Yeah. So they're we're seeing a lot of them. And what these buy now, pay laters are really designed to do is making students or people pay more for items. Because what they'll do is they'll go online and go, oh, I can buy that t-shirt I want. Great, and I'll spread that cost over 3 installments, so it's going to cost me £10 a month. And they go, well, actually, I can afford a little bit more than that, so I can afford £15, £30. And all of a sudden, they're going away, their basket's all of a sudden massively full of clothes they didn't intend on buying, because they're thinking, oh, actually, it's only going to cost me X amount per month for that. And that's where they're trapping society in my opinion. Everyone's getting into those traps. They're spending more money that they didn't intend to do. So what we always say to students is, you know, put it in your basket if you're shopping, have a look at it, and then have a think about it. Don't make that impulse buy. Think about, do I need that? Do I really need it right now? And it's come back to that budgeting thing, making sure you're only buying stuff you actually need. There's a want and a need. And I'm thinking, obviously, yeah, that's something we're very keen to work with students about, and finding what the difference between a want and a need is. And that's going to be some messages we're delivering during Student National Money Week. Also, there's going to be some online articles, once again, which Kai has created, which are going to be fantastic for everyone to read. And they're going to stay up there for a long time, so people can have a look at those as well. So, cool.
Okay. So, our last question. We had a lot of questions come in along the same lines as this. So, can you explain the difference between a credit card and a debit card?
Of course, yes. So, a debit card is taking away what you already have. So, it's money that's in your account. You can use it for, well, thousands of things. Whether they're going to take a card, there's no distinguishing between credit and debit card when it comes to paying. And that money will just come straight out of your account. The credit card, as we sort of touched upon earlier, is borrowing. So you're making that purchase by borrowing that money from a third party. If you're not paying it back quick enough, you will be paying back more than you borrow, which obviously Chris mentioned earlier. If you can pay that back before you need to, then yes, it works very well. But at the same time, if you have the money in your debit card or in your account, then there's would probably be the preferred method rather than borrowing if it was unnecessary. So the credit card, see, to apply for one, again, we touched on it earlier, it's going to be based on your credit score. So if you misuse a credit card, then it could again have longer term effects when it comes to your financing.
Just want to add that there is some advantages to having a credit card out there. I think we always see highlighted one of those. It helps build up the credit score, which is great if you manage it correctly. There's some insurances as well, especially with online transactions. So if you do use a credit card online compared to a debit card, you're spending someone else's money in regards to that with a credit card. So basically, if the item doesn't turn up or it comes up faulty or you're missold or anything, you're insured. You can claim that back through the credit card company. So look, I was missold something, and they can obviously get that refunded back to you, so you won't be charged. If you used a debit card for that online transaction, that's your money. You've lost that money. You would have to speak to your bank about getting that money back, and they may not agree with you in regards to that. So in some cases, online transactions, I would highlight maybe a credit card is a good idea to use if it's used sensibly. When I was younger, I used a credit card very badly. And then the way I control my credit card uses, I gave it to my dad and my mum. And I said, I need to build up my credit score. I need to use it. Can we use it each month? Or when there was an emergency or there was a big online purchase or anything like that, then I got the credit card off them. So that was the way I managed it until I felt I was capable of managing my finances a bit better. Now I give the credit card to my wife and she controls that credit card, and yeah, so it's slightly different there. But here we go. It made sense in regards to that.
Yeah, that definitely did. Thank you guys. I know this has been very helpful for myself, so I know it would be very helpful for students listening to this.
Fantastic. So I think that's all the questions we have, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. So first of all, thank you everybody that's tuned in to the first edition of the Big Questions podcast. Hopefully there will be more. You can, and we will hopefully reply. Thank you very much to Nafemi for coming along and sourcing those questions. Kai, Chris, myself, I'm Ryan, so thank you very much for listening. If you have any questions at all, funding related, you will find all of us at funding@essex.ac.uk, and hopefully we will see you next time.